Hello everyone, this is Damir Barlas, site editor of Search SAP. Welcome to our two-part podcast on SAP Change Control Management, moderated by Rick Porter of Revelation Software Concepts. Change Control Management is about ensuring that any changes made to your SAP environment, think upgrades, integration, and the installation of new modules, do not cause downtime or other unforeseen problems to your system. In part one, consultant Paul Hayes discusses the characteristics and value proposition of automated change control management for SAP environments. In part two of this podcast, end user Susan Cannington of CHEP discusses what it's like to implement change control. So now let's turn it over to Rick Porter and learn more about change management.
Okay. Well, hello there. I'm glad you can join us for the first of this two-part series on change control, in which we're going to be talking about change control in SAP-based information systems. And so for your information, I'm Rick Porter of the SAP Change Control Specialist Company, Revelation Software Concepts. But I'm here today really to bring you up to date on SAP change management and the generic challenges faced by SAP change teams from organisations all around the world of various sizes. So with me today also is Paul Hayes. He's an expert in SAP, been an SAP consultant for many years, and has been appointed SAP's new resident expert on SAP change control. So we're lucky he's found time to participate in this podcast, and he will certainly help us understand the challenges that have come upon basis teams and consultants and integrators with regard to SAP change control further than what they have in the past. So thanks, Paul. Let's get into it.
All right, thank you, Rick. Hello, it's Paul Hayes here. Managing change is ultimately a technical challenge, but it's driven by vitally important business considerations, if only because of Sarbanes-Oxley very recently and other regulatory compliance issues. Today's companies pay a lot more attention to the processes they follow when they change and evolve their systems. Audits require close records management, and technical change teams need to give more consideration of the detail along the way now than most are probably used to. But it's more than that. Businesses are making more and broader system changes than ever before, and the systems are getting larger and more complex. The potential for things to go wrong is much greater. Put these factors all together, and change management is not just a technical issue. It has become business critical. Some companies still trying to manage what has become a critical matter with easy available software applications in a patchwork quilt of homegrown solutions. But those do not handle the whole challenge well. Make-do, so-so solutions might have been good enough in the past, but they won't do anymore, not with increased system complexity and the legal liabilities attached to carelessness, not to mention the need for 100% uptime required by today's expanded systems and globalization. So companies come to SAP consultants and integration specialists for advice and for leadership in solving these challenges, or they may turn to the CIO's internal gurus. Either way, it's more important than ever for players in the SAP ecosystem to know what change control options are available to them and to their clients.
So customers want to run SAP for a variety of reasons, of course. So some because they perceive greater flexibility with those systems, others because they're standardising their infrastructure, and others because they want to set a single operational standard. Then, of course, once they have SAP systems and they begin to evolve and begin to utilise their new system flexibility, they find the need to manage change smoothly in order to minimise the costs and risks that always come with changing stable systems. Without managing it smoothly, they'll find themselves in all sorts of trouble. And they find that they need more than just a technical solution, of course. They need a comprehensive approach with maximum automation and reliability. And that's why we're seeing increased interest by SAP customers in who is out there with cost-efficient, all-inclusive change management solutions to begin to meet the challenges that Paul mentioned a moment ago. Now, SAP itself has begun addressing the challenge, and it's done this by introducing some change and request management features tied in with CRM features into a solution manager, and by introducing its CTS Plus technology in its NetWeaver 7 platform. So Solution Manager Charm at least provides a central point for change teams to gather and collate change-related information, and CTS Plus gives change teams a single method to manage both the ABAP and non-ABAP change packages in a single deployment system. And this is important given now the dual stack and dual technology approach that SAP are embarking upon. So this is a very good first step. And it is a recognition by SAP that managing change is a challenge that's worth addressing. But to minimise risk and cost, you are going to need some comprehensive change management processes and the technology that helps to enforce and automate not just the tasks that are associated with this, but also the policies behind them. To keep the infrastructure current, you need to respond as new circumstances arise, and you need to do that quickly. Now, change always brings about risk to any stable system, so managing your changes correctly will not only minimise this risk, but also cut the costs and give you a chance to improve your system control while you're at it. So I'm sure you can tell us a bit more about that, Paul.
Okay, Rick. Well, we just discussed the broader picture, but let's take a closer look now at some typical challenges that we'll face in changing a stable SAP system. I'll look at four initially and then discuss some of the broader issues around larger SAP environments. Firstly, how do we make a clean audit? Well, firstly, it helps to know what the auditor's looking for. Basically, he or she wants to be certain that for every transport in production, there exists a clear and transparent audit trail that documents, for example, the reason for the change, who authorised the change, who developed the change, and who tested the change, and who authorised it for productive use. And they'll want to be certain the process followed is repeatable and complies with some basic process rules, such as segregation of duties and no approver approving subsequent steps in the process. So to make a clean audit, you're going to have to make sure that, A, you're using repeatable processes. I like to describe this as rinse and repeat, that obey the rules. And B, you have evidence that the process was followed for each and every change. And C, you have the documentation to support various status approvals along the way. Secondly, let's look at transport sequencing errors. This happens when transports containing changes for delivery into your SAP systems get out of sequence. Because transports contain subsequent code or configuration changes, it is critical to deliver them in the correct sequence. If not, things may not function as expected. Because you may not know why the unexpected is happening, it will often take many hours to find the root cause of a problem. This could be a half a day of basis time and functional people gone in the blink of an eye. Thirdly, consider transport overtakes and overwrites. We'll run into these when requests or transports containing different versions of the same object or configuration versions get out of sequence. Typically, this occurs when a change that is part of a relatively large piece of work is making its way through to production slowly and is overtaken by a change required for a break fix, for a production emergency problem. The problem is twofold. First, the break fix change could be taking things into production that are as yet unapproved or untested changes that are part of the larger body of work already on its way to production. Secondly, when the initial change eventually gets to production, there is the danger that it will overwrite the break fix and remove it from the system. Either of these can result in unexpected production behavior and incidents that can be extremely difficult to resolve. In fact, they may not even show up until many months after the error has occurred. And finally, if we look at managing dependencies, in the example mentioned a moment ago, the larger body of work may require a number of changes across various SAP modules to be implemented, requiring a number of transports. These transports contain changes that are dependent upon one another and so require treatment as a single body of work. The problem arises because technically managing these dependencies in a fast-changing SAP system without a method of tying them together can be very challenging. If that were all you had to deal with, a comprehensive change control system might not be quite as important, but large or complex projects magnified the size of the challenges. Adding landscapes, this can make a system more flexible, but also make it harder to keep landscapes synchronized. For example, consider the addition of a parallel project landscape to manage phased releases or larger, more complex projects. In addition to the challenges discussed earlier, now the matter of managing potential parallel developments, preventing possible overwriting of support changes by project changes. Keeping the two development systems synchronized to prevent such occurrences is, for many, an unexpected change control challenge. If you're looking at running ECC, you may want to utilize some of the single or dual stack Java technologies. Whilst SAP provides CTS Plus, for example, you're likely to find the issue of keeping independent Java changes from within the same application or cross applications tied together a significant change to existing single stack ABAP transport dependency management. Although CTS Plus brings together both Java and ABAP changes into the same transport management system, there are now many, many more transports to manage. And finally, the more complex the systems become, the more likely you'll run into problems of predicting in all those interlocking business processes and modules how a change will impact the system downstream. Take the example of a change to a customer record field for sales reporting purposes. What other modules will it impact, and how do you actually find out? Managing change using this hybrid patchwork quilt method of stringing together unrelated non-integrated software applications and homegrown solutions and utilities is just not best practice and not something you want to find out about when turning up fresh on a new client site. Rick, do you want to add anything here?
Well, thanks, Paul. I think that was quite a comprehensive introduction to SAP change control and the many difficulties there. So the only thing that I'll add really is that in the second part of this podcast series, where I'll be discussing with Susan Cannington from SHEP some real-world experiences with change control and the challenges that have to be solved. That would be a good thing to watch out for and listen into. So SHEP is a global company. They pull pallets and containers for international companies. They have a fast response, high reliability system for managing incredibly complex scheduling, billing and asset management tasks, and Susan will have a lot to say about change control in that type of environment that's worldwide and demanding. So I would suggest that you don't miss that. So look, thank you for listening, and if you do have some technical questions around this subject matter, contact Paul Hayes. Paul will be the be TechTarget's new resident expert on SAP change control, and thanks for listening.